AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
On tonight's debut of Sanity Cinema, we're going to need a bigger boat as we celebrate 4th of July weekend with 1975's Jaws. The boys talk at length about their earliest memories, favorite performances, and favorite scenes of this iconic Spielberg juggernaut, while veering off into a plethora of other films along the way. This will be the first of many more Sanity Cinema episodes to come. All right, we have a special episode of Sanity Cinema tonight.
Kind of a last minute one.
It's kind of a last minute. We had a schedule change, which worked out for the better because it's July 4th weekend.
Yeah, 1 week from today, actually, is July 4th.
And but we're going to release this on July 4th weekend.
This episode will be released on July 4th, if that's any indication as to what we're going to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. And in my house, every 4th of July, I watch
Jaws.
Jaws, the Steven Spielberg classic. Now, at this point in history, you know, it seems like everybody's on the Jaws train. Mm-hmm. But as you know, we are older.
Dude, that movie just turned 49 years old.
Oh, my God.
June 20th, 1975 was the release date.
I mean, we are so old,
49-year-old film.
Now, to be clear, go ahead. And it's Shark Week. It's serendipity.
Love
we love that at Sanity.
I love sharks and I hate them at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. They're fascinating.
I love looking at sharks, but I would never want to be eaten by one. I don't know if I can. I guess there's.
I'm not sure if anybody really wants to be eaten by a shark.
If you had a choice over death, I mean, where would that rank on your list? I don't know. We don't need to go into it because I hate those questions.
I know.
Because I don't want to die.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And I think every kid gets that fascination with sharks. To be clear,
I don't know. I think orcas are more dangerous, although Jaws kills an orca.
Yeah, fucking Jaws. I mean, we saw Jaws 2. You know, the fucking orca was on the beach. It was over, you know. And keep in mind, the movie Orca the Killer Whale, we're going to get into that. Actually,
well, I like Free Willy. All
right, here's
Free
the Willy. Deal.
He was a nicer orca.
Free Willy was a nice orca. But in general, you know, I'm pretty positive that was an anomaly in nature.
Right.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's not like, you know, I don't know. We'll get all this hate mail from all these aquatic people, which is fine.
Maybe.
We love everybody. Back to Jaws. Here's the deal. It's 4th of July weekend, and in my house, it's important to watch Jaws 1.
Yeah.
And I think culturally, it was a shift 49 years ago, and we're going to take advantage of this schedule shift. Yeah. And here's another thing of serendipity. You wore a Captain Quinn t-shirt.
Here's the swimming with bow-legged women.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the time is
now. It's not my favorite quote, though, but I like it.
We're going to get to favorite quotes.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah. The time is now. And so tonight, dear listeners,
Quinn,
we're going to do a special episode that we're going to release rather quickly, of Jaws.
100%.
Nice.
So stay tuned, mark your calendars, because July 4th, this episode will drop.
Nice.
What was that?
Because if we've already dropped,
this is going to be in the trailer, dummy.
All right. It just threw me off. I'm going, well, wait a second. Like, if they're already watching the goddamn thing. All right, this is a cut.
No, it's not.
All right, no problem. Because I'm going, it threw me off.
That
I'm
was thinking, just you thinking. That was you using your brain. They're like, wait a minute.
I'm going, if
how
we.
The fuck are they going to know that? Because people are going to be listening to this right now, listening to this conversation, going, they must have been able to predict the future.
Wow. Incredible. This is definitely an edit. I can't
wait.
We're
idiots. All right. We're idiots. So, you go ahead. Let's start.
Hold on. So, what is it?
I just have an abundance of fun facts. I have some quizzes that I'll give you too.
Okay, well, before we get to the fun facts and the quizzes, mm-hmm. when was your first memory of Jaws?
I don't know. I mean, renting the VHS. I didn't see Jaws in the theater. Obviously, it was 1975, the year I was born.
Right,
birthed. Like I said in episode one, the first movie I remember seeing in the theater beyond Predator was Jaws 3 in 3D.
Right.
I'd seen Jaws prior to that. Yeah, okay. With Chad and Ray. So that was 83. We used to watch that shit. I was thinking about that on the ride here about this is a little off topic, but it's film related, so okay. We can do it.
Do it.
Like when you worked at the movie theater, that was like, or not the movie theater, when you worked at the movie store in Finksburg Plaza in the 90s, yes. Yep. I used to rent movies from a video store not far from here because it was in the 80s though, mm-hmm. and it was before 795 was there, and it was the closest video rental store. It was right beyond Soldier's Delight, right on the corner when you go out to Liberty Road.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I remember they had brown plastic cases that had to be. I remember we used to rent Conan all the time and Friday the 13th. My brother rented movies because that's how I got in all the scary stuff. And Jaws was one of the movies you used to rent from there.
Wow.
But my point was, as I was just thinking about on the ride over here, is how many movies didn't exist in the 90s, 80s when you were getting into movies? Like, there was no, like, Marvel shit.
No, yeah.
There was Star Wars, but basic, like, three Star Wars movies and a holiday special.
Yeah, we grew up with the original trilogy, yeah. and Superman,
DC,
right?
But there wasn't really Marvel other than TV shows with the Hulk, Spider. There was a Spider-Man TV show,
right?
But Hulk was the big one.
And DC cracked the code with Batman in '88,
yes,
with Tim Burton. Yep. But that was '88.
'88 or '89?
'89. I think. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, yeah, they were in production in '88, but it wasn't released till '89. Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely
just
right.
A segue. I was thinking about that, and it's serendipitous that we could do a film episode while I was thinking about that.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Here.
You were on the way over, and you didn't know we were gonna. Perfect.
It's funny, but I mean, it was like the labels in the sleeves of these were looked like somebody used a typewriter. To type the names on them.
Titles were typewritered out. Yeah. Definitely.
I
remember Bumps
Video had
pictures, no
boxes
pictures.
With pictures. No. Like you just looked at the name. You're like, oh, Conan.
When I first went to Bumps Video, now this is 82.
Finksburg Plaza wasn't even there. That's why we went to that place.
Right. This is way before Rentertainment Video, but Bumps Video, you would walk in and there was a huge catalog. Right. And they had a porn catalog, and they had a regular people catalog, and they had a family people. Not regular people. You know, I love porn people. Don't go crazy. But back in the day, I was like 10, you know, and so it was like, don't touch that, you know. But that's all it was. It wasn't even the fucking boxes. Yeah. You'd look through this catalog of the lists, and then you'd go to Mr. Bump, and he'd give you the movie. And then it shifted to one box, you know, and one copy of that son of a bitch.
That was before Blockbuster, for God's sake.
Then there was Errol's Video.
Errol's, I remember that.
Errol's went a little hard, Blockbuster.
There was an Errol's next to the Reisterstown movie cinema that we always used to go to. There was an Errol's next door.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Reisterstown cinema turned into Hollywood Video
in the
late 90s.
That was a cool store. They had cool merch and memorabilia. I still own stuff that I bought from there.
But keep in mind, that was the beginning of the end when the corporate pigs, you know, hoard everything.
Yep.
And the market shifted to, in their defense, it wasn't all them. But
yep. So okay. Then back to Jaws again.
Right. So back
this
to
is
Jaws.
How it's gonna go. Trust us.
Right.
June 20th, 1975. Jaws.
So you're saying you?
I remember renting Jaws from that video store.
Okay.
And so, going home and watching it on VHS and fucking.
So let me tell you,
terrified out of my mind as a kid.
I remember I had never heard of it. And I went to Johnny Morningstar's house, and I'm talking like it was probably first grade. Like it was early, like I was young. I mean, I was born in 76. So,
right.
You know, it was like 81.
That movie was out and you weren't even on this.
Earth. I know. And listen, I just remember him being excited and being like, hey, I got Jaws. And he put it on and I'm going, what's Jaws? And they're like, it's like a shark eats somebody. And I'm like, what? And I remember being like, holy shit.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the rest of the guys, like Johnny and Charles Van Horn and all these guys, started like playing and shit. And I sat there watching this movie that I hadn't heard of, transfixed. And it blew my face off. And then once I realized at that moment that the sequel was already out,
right.
I was like, holy shit.
That's funny. Here, I'll read if for anybody unfamiliar with Jaws, because I'm sure there's going to be fucking somebody out there. There has to be. There can't be.
It's
but
offensive,
there
but there
be.
Has
this
to
This is
be.
From the BBC. This is a quick summary. There's a man-eating shark. He's on the loose in the waters surrounding the beach town of Amity Island. Police Chief Martin Brody, played by the great Roy Scheider.
One of the greats.
Tries to close the beach after the shark kills several people. But goddamn mayor, the economy's more important than this fucking people.
Is that what the BBC thing says?
No, I mean,
okay, I was like, Jesus Christ.
I'm going off on a tangent here. But that goddamn Mayor Vaughn, he wouldn't close the beach because he's
right.
Like, we need that cash.
Same
that
old cash. Story.
Matt Hooper. He's brought in to help assess what kind of shark it is and how much danger it poses. Then, meanwhile, a slightly unhinged local fisherman named Quint offers to catch and kill it for $10,000.
Oh,
and then
God.
The movie begins.
Really takes
yes.
off. Yeah, yeah.
Although
I'll argue that the whole movie is phenomenal, but if you're a young person and you're looking for that kick, you're going to go 45 deep until you get that, what you're looking for, really.
One hour and 21 minutes, to be exact. Is that what are you talking about?
What is that, the
before
boat?
You first see the shark?
No, I'm talking about before they start to go out on the boat.
It's like the first half of the movie is on land, second half is, but you don't see the shark for the first hour and 21 minutes.
Right, so I just remember the first time I watched it, I was blown away by it, and I did not, this is pre, like, my knowledge of film, or anything, you know, it's like I was just a kid that was like, holy shit. And I remember, like, it was very close to a time where we went to Ocean City, and it affected me. Like, it really affected
me. Yeah, I don't know. My brother probably affected me because of my brother fucking with me.
No,
like,
Ralph,
he used to do it with Jason Voorhees a lot and Exorcist. But I don't remember him messing with me too much about Jaws.
Well, I think it was like inherent in the culture. I mean, keep in mind, kids, this is pre-shock fest. This is pre you just pick up your phone and watch people be beheaded. This
right.
is pre a lot. This is, you know, true innocence lost through horror of a real thing that could happen.
Oh,
it was based on, loosely based on a New Jersey shark attack that happened in the turn of the century. Like, I think I want to say in like 1918, something like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It loosely based on New Jersey Beach.
Bentley based the book on.
Yes. And so that upsets you, you know, off the get-go. You're like, wait, what? You know? And they're like, yeah, well, you know. And then the book comes out, and it's a smash hit. Mm-hmm. And this is a weird piece of trivia. I'm kind of on a rant right now.
Yeah, I actually...
This is another reason why we should be doing this, is because today on my algorithm, it fed me this piece of trivia that I knew about this, but it was like a meme that said, Hooper's wife means something different in the book than in the movie.
And Hooper's wife?
I'm sorry.
Brody's wife.
Brody's wife, yeah. Right. And I thought about it, and I'm like, what the hell
what
are they talking about?
What do you mean means something different?
In the book, Matt Hooper is banging Ellen Brody.
Oh, they're having
they
an affair?
They have an affair, yeah. Oh, really? It's like a whole side story. Yeah, yeah. In the novel Jaws.
You know what's funny about that is as violent as the movie is, as far as the shark scenery and,
right,
and the killing, well, not all of the killings.
It's upsetting.
But that would have made it like over the top if they would have included that in the movie.
Spielberg opted to keep that angle of it out because
I think he should have probably.
Yeah, I mean it's a good call, but it would have been. I mean, like what? Like so, when Matt Hooper came to the house to have dinner with Ellen and Martin at the end, I wonder if in the book they had already been banging.
I've never read the book.
Me neither.
So I don't know. Like, I feel like it's just a pointless story.
Because, right.
Unless in the book there's like tension between Brody and Hooper.
They made it out to be because.
Like, what's the point of the affair?
Over the years.
What's the point of the affair? He just shows up like, oh, there's shark attacks. Let me check it out and bang the chief's wife.
Well,
while
keep
I'm at
in mind,
it.
Brody's new sheriff in town. He's got a lot on his shoulder. He drinks a lot.
Yeah.
Ellen drinks a lot. She's home a lot. You know, he's got this shark
so
thing going on.
So the timeline must be pretty long at that point.
I guess.
In the book.
I mean, they were making it out like it seemed like it was it gets tense,
right,
like with Matt and Martin and like the whole run and stuff like that. It just would have been interesting.
Read the book, I guess, maybe.
It would have been an interesting.
The shark faces, shark's demise is different in the book also.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not, I mean, harpoons. It
right.
dies from harpoon wounds.
Right. Well, anyway, which
Brody sticks it with, like he's when he's up on the crow's nest, he's
right.
fucking stabbing it. So that was like
that was supposed to be the end.
Yeah, but then they did the tank that MythBusters kind of debunked, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I don't give a shit about.
Yeah,
in my head.
Yeah, it's
you know,
cinema. Yeah, it's history. It's
yeah.
Awesome. It's a great end.
I watch movies to escape reality. I watch movies for story.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. And I don't even though they proved it wrong, I don't think they cared.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're good guys. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that kind of stuff, I'm always like, yeah, it gives a shit, you know.
Yep.
But that being said, so I, you know, after we watched Jaws 1, my head's blown off. I realize this is Jaws 2. And in my opinion, I love Jaws 2.
No, I love Jaws 1 and I love Jaws 2.
I mean,
the end of Jaws 2. I love that. I love that. The high voltage wire, like
the
it's
electrical.
Great when he's just in a little fucking rowboat,
right?
I
right.
love the boat race,
right?
Like it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's
I
really
haven't,
good.
I've seen Jaws more recently than I've seen Jaws 2, and I've seen Jaws a lot more than I've seen Jaws 2 or 3 or 4.
I've probably seen 1 and 2, even.
Yeah,
because I went on a run of years where
I've seen Jaws 2 a lot, but I haven't seen it since the 90s, probably.
And
maybe early 2000s.
We both saw Jaws 3D in the theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was terrible.
It's terrible.
And it was only terrible because the CGI was so terrible because they just went with a cheap company that was trying new cheap technology that just looked like shit.
Yeah, but it had problems, you know. But again, we're here to talk about the masterpiece that is Steven Spielberg's Jaws 1.
And notice how we didn't even mention Jaws 4.
Jaws the Revenge, right. Which I might mention before it's all said and done because I love the Jaws universe, much like the Marvel universe.
And it had Brody's wife in it.
I know.
Right.
I know.
And Michael Caine.
Right.
And
it
opens. There was an interview with Michael Caine. They ask him about Jaws. He's like, do you regret making Jaws? And he's like, I don't regret the house it bought my mother.
Right. I saw that quote. I love that quote. What a great quote. So let's talk about what's your favorite scene in the movie. If you have to pick two scenes in Jaws, that is hands down your favorite. Now, take a second because I have mine.
Yeah.
And when I say mine, knowing you, you're going to go, oh, yeah, dude.
So
actually, dude.
My favorite scene, hands down, is the introduction of Quint in the town meeting.
Okay.
And then his speech and just fucking owning everyone. That's my favorite. That's my favorite scene in the movie is Quinn's introduction.
In the town hall.
In the town hall when he's just sitting in the back listening to everybody trying to figure out what the hell to do.
It's a great scene.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he interrupts the town hall with the chalkboard fingernail run, which is a great move, a power move in a situation like that.
Yep.
And then he gives that famous speech that Ben Davis did so well. Shout out Benny D. God love him. If he was here, he'd be like, right now I can hear he's probably bitching, going, don't forget about this. Don't forget about this. But Ben Davis with that, you all know me, know how I earn a living. I'll catch his bird for you, but it ain't going to be easy. Anyway.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great impersonation.
Thank you.
I'm terrible at those.
Well, Ben Davis does it the best.
Well, we'll have to have him phone.
We'll have him phone in. But anyway, good scene, good pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there another one?
Yeah, the typical chum. Like, why don't you come down here and fucking chum some of this shit? And the fucking shark jumps up and the look on his face. And that's another funny thing. I'd recently, like within the last couple of days, saw it was an interview with Roy Scheider, and I don't remember who he was talking to, but they were talking about like emotion, like wordless emotion. And he in particular was talking about that scene, about how, and he's like, pull your cheek muscles up and then drop them. That's how you show like the shocked fear, absolute fear. Without using words, and he does it in that scene.
It was a great scene, and he's walking backwards, and that leads into the famous line that everyone knows and loves, because it's like right when that shark comes up, he stands up straight, walks right back into where Quint is, and he says, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Mm-hmm. And Quint just like looks at him and then gets up and looks around.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, those are my two. I mean, that's cliche that the shark... intro, but
it's a master stroke, and all of this whole idea for this podcast is cliche because everybody knows Jaws, everybody loves Jaws, everything like that, but we're doing this as a labor of love because we have a show and I love Jaws and I've always wanted to be able to talk about it. That's right. I'm so happy to be able to talk about it, but it's a bold move for Spielberg, and that's the scene. Like when I was a kid, first of all, the Alex Kittner scene was upsetting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the original first taking of the child Alex Kittner, it's brilliantly shot. Mm-hmm. They don't show the shark, really. No. They show a fin swim.
I don't think they show even that, because that would be considered the shark.
So here's the deal. Trust me.
I think they show the. It's. I think that's more the raft, the yellow raft flapping
it's
around.
It's the raft
bloody.
And a dorsal, we'll say. Trust me, there is a dorsal fin in there.
Are you sure this isn't the Godfather epic scenario you're talking about over here?
Right, see, like I was right about that.
You were watching it on TV one day, and there was a fucking dorsal fin popping up. But I'm going to go home and put it on, and there's going to be no dorsal fin.
Listen, I was right about the Godfather epic, and I'm right about this. It just shows they used one shot. Mm-hmm. They shot the shark coming up and killing Alex. Like, but they cut it. Because of the ratings board, or maybe Spielberg was like, he didn't want to have that go that hard.
I wonder if it had ever had like an X rating.
Well, if you, I guess not. You can find the picture now of this shark coming up, and like it's a black and white shot of Bruce the shark coming up and eating or like taking Alex. And then you couple that with the actual scene from the film, which is a shot of the raft and the dorsal fin turning and a lot of blood and Alex going brruh, 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 like just a little smidge of the dorsal fin and a lot of raft and a lot of blood. And so, but it's like, you know, it's. Yeah.
So what are your scenes?
So
we didn't go into it.
My scenes, again, cliche, but hands down number one. And ironically, it has nothing to do with the shark, is Quint's USS Indianapolis speech. That scene.
Oh, 100%.
Is. See, right.
I mean, no, that I know that I would.
It's like.
I guess I wouldn't have called that my favorite scene, maybe my favorite quote in the movie, although it's a whole story.
It's a monologue. Yeah, it's a masterstroke. Yeah.
I mean, I still like the Quint intro, but I love that story. And I can listen to that story like right now in my head. Like,
well,
if
that's
you just
what I mean.
Played
it's
it,
like,
I would just sit here and listen to it and all.
When you said the intro, oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. I mean, that would be
That would have been absolutely terrifying if that happened.
That's what I mean. If I was a child and that was the first killing, right? Because he's in just Jaws, chilling.
Yeah, that's
like
that's
I would
hard.
Be like, that, oh my god! Like
I don't know if I'd. Yeah, I'd probably wouldn't be over to this.
And
day.
So, with, to Spielberg's credit, they did not use their shots. Yeah, right. And they waited to. And then I think he had technical issues with all the other shots he had up until right. the point where they you know, but. I love the Quint USS Indianapolis speech. Mm-hmm. First of all, we all know now the history of the USS Indianapolis. And, you know, at the time, there was no internet. You know, you knew a couple of World War II fanatics who could tell you about that. Or you had a dad that had a book, you know, that could talk to you about it. But it's like to find out what Quint's talking about in that scene is based on true history is haunting.
Yeah, and when he starts talking about the shark, like the sharks themselves, he's like, then the eyes glaze over white, and it's like just...
Right, his delivery of the visceral reaction to real people being eaten in a realistic situation, mm-hmm. and Robert Shaw, God rest his soul, was drunk when he originally went to do that scene. He came in hitting the ass,
yeah,
and he filmed it, and they didn't. No, they told him to go.
He couldn't use that tape.
Right, they told him to go sleep it off because right, and he came back, and then but then I think you know to his credit, he nailed it in one or two takes right after that, and it just messed me up as a kid because it just captivated me, you know, and then you start that takes you down the road as a kid. To looking into history because you're like, what is he talking about? Deliver the bomb. I don't understand. Right. You know, what does that mean? And, you know, it was just fascinating. So that in my head, when I think of Jaws, even though I love the shark and I love Matt Hooper and I love everything about it, I always, that's the scene that like, you know, I just can't get over. So after that, I think my favorite scene is when Quint's being eaten.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, man versus nature. Yep. It's so over the top. Like, every asshole on Earth is like, well, that couldn't happen. And you're like, okay, well, whatever. Like, who gives a shit? Once again, we go to film to escape reality. Get the memo. Like, you know, I can't stand when I'm watching a movie called Aliens and someone gives it shit because someone holds a shotgun with one arm. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, it's like, come on, dude. Like, there's a fucking alien. Like, you've checked reality at the door. Let it go.
That's a tough way to go in that scene. Like, and he fights his ass off. Like, Quint solidifies him as a fucking badass.
Oh, my gosh. And that's what I mean. It's like as a kid, you're going.
And then he just chomps down and... The best part of that scene is just the end of it when he's just like lifeless, laying there. Half of his body's hanging out in the jaw, and the shark just kind of like shimmies off the boat with him in his jaws and just sinks under the water.
Listen, there is a noise, there's a sound effect that's at that part. That if next time you watch it, listen hard, but there it like goes like when the shark's going back into the water,
right?
Like, I don't know if it's like a sound effect
his,
purposely
like last breath or something. Or
it just sounds, it's either the shark growling or Quint breathing out, but it's like, as the shark's backing up into the water. It's very strange.
Can you, on the death note, can you name all of the people who die in that movie and the order that they die?
Susie Watkins was the girl on the beach.
Right last name, wrong first name.
Cindy.
Close. Correct Stacey. First letter.
All right. Cindy.
Chrissy.
Chrissy Watkins.
Chrissy Watkins. You said it first. Yeah, Chrissy Watkins, number one.
Chrissy Watkins. Alex Kittner.
Alex Kittner, number two.
Ben Gardner.
Number three. And that was the epitome of a jump scare in that scene. Like kind of not the, I mean, I'm sure it's not the first time a jump scare has happened in film, but that was
Let's talk
probably
about that.
The most intense one.
Let's talk about that. Do you remember the first time you saw that scene? Like, do you remember how
I remember probably jumping through the wall almost. Yeah.
I remember like being truly
just
shocked.
He's peering into the boat hull, the boat's hull, and the fucking head just pops right in front of him.
Right, so to be clear to those at home who aren't 100% familiar with what we're talking
spoiler
about.
Spoiler alert.
Right, real quick, spoiler, you know, fuck off, you know. We talking like we're in the 90s and the early 2000s right here. But just so you know, there's a scene in the movie where Matt Hooper dives down. He sees there's a hull of a boat, you know, in the water.
Partially sunk.
Correct. And him and Chief Brody are out on the waters and they're searching for any sign that there's truth to their claim that there's a giant shark.
This is after they cut open the tiger shark and find nothing.
Correct.
No remains.
And they're looking for any, Matt Hooper says, you know, well, you know, we got to go out on the water. And, you know, so they go out on the water. They find this hull of this half sunken ship right there. Matt goes down there within a fucking
That's a intense scene too, because you already know something's out there, and now he's just in the water
and it's nighttime.
He's looking around. Yes, it's nighttime. He's got a light scope. The water's murky.
And he's got a snorkel.
I mean, the first time you see that movie, you probably think, all right, Hooper's gone. He's done.
100%. Well, keep in mind, so he's got a snorkel.
Yeah.
And a flashlight right. And a blade.
Yeah.
And it's nighttime, and they're going to see if there's a 20-foot shark. And, you know, like, the whole thing is...
explore a half-sunken boat.
Right, that may have been sunk by the 20-foot shark. Right. It's it's mayhem.
Well, what else does he find?
So, then...
In the hull of the ship.
Matt Hooper approaches said hull under dark water with just shimmering light, and he finds the tooth. Mr. Vaughn, I found the tooth the size of a shot glass in the hull of a boat. So he finds this tooth right there and he wedges it out and it's the tooth. And we as a young audience are like, oh, look, big. That's a big tooth. And in the background, foreground's a tooth. In the background, there's a hole. Mm-hmm. And this sumbitch's head comes popping. This dead guy's head comes popping out of the hole. And it...
missing an eye. One eye's hanging out.
It's an incredible jump scare. It's for the ages. And on the first screening of that film, they said that, like, that was the one that everyone, it solidified.
Yeah, they were locked in.
Right. Now, a couple little things of trivia on that shot in particular. They got that shot at the editor of Jaws. It was an older gal. I can't remember her name, but she edited all of Spielberg's film. Legend in Hollywood. It was at her house. She had a pool in her backyard. And
I've read that.
They were missing a shot. Like, they didn't have a good shot. Mm-hmm. And so Spielberg and a couple people in her pool set up the hull of the boat. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that the hand you see is Spielberg's hand, and that, you know, there is no shot. It's just a shot of the head. Yeah. So they didn't even need it.
Right.
You know, so they
I read that. Yeah.
They got the shot in the pool months after principal photography was done. So that's awesome.
So that's Ben Gardner.
Ben Gardner.
Who's next? So we got 1, 2, 3.
And what? So you have a list of the deaths in Jaws?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jeez. And we didn't plan this. This is intense.
So you got the first three.
All right.
So, in order.
Well, so Quinn, I mean... Quint
is number 5.
Quint's number 5. All right, so we got...
There's one between Ben Gardner and Quint, and I'll give you a hint. It is an unnamed person.
I mean, I'm trying to think here. I'm drawing a
blank.
I'll
give you another hint. You see his leg floating to the bottom.
Oh, you boys okay over there?
The estuary boater. That's what he's credited as.
Dude, you know what? That's... Sorry about the audio peak. Mm-hmm. That's my second favorite. That scene horrified me.
Yeah, because the way the dude's in the water and the shark like turns to the side just so he can bite the fucker in half.
And that shrill that actor makes when it comes at him from the side.
And you can see it because it's a top-down view of it.
It's like, an incredible shot.
That's a big shark.
It's a haunting shot, and they're in the lake off to the side. So as a kid, every time you're, you know, at least me because my head's crazy, you know, if I go to Cascade Lake, I'm like, oh God, like there's a possibility.
Right.
It's got, you know, or who the hell knows? But
Deep Creek. My brother used to always tell me there was a creature in there named Big Bay Tide.
Ralph, baby. We love Ralph at Sanity Lounge. God bless Ralph Davis. That's incredible.
All right, so you got estuary boater, then Quint, we already talked about. He was number five, and then the final death is, of course...
Well, Quint's the final death.
Bruce is the final death.
Oh, right, the shark. Son of a bitch, yeah.
And then here, this. So we'll just keep going. How many total deaths are there from shark attacks in all four movies?
Do you have this statistic?
Yeah.
What are you, the amazing Kreskin?
I did some research. Quick.
Okay, so I'm going to give it a bump. Wait. So the first one was what, six?
Five. The shark doesn't count.
All right, so this second human one, deaths. You got Tina's boyfriend. You've got the wait, boater.
Where are we at? Wait.
You've got the boater.
You're in the second one, so we're at
okay.
Six.
So at the very beginning of the second one, bring the two guys who are looking for the orca get killed.
So that's seven.
Then the two guys there. Then I'm gonna say Tina's boyfriend. I remember the water skier and the boater. So that's two.
So we're at nine.
Right. Well, wait.
Oh, we at 10.
I think we're at 10 because I have five in my hand. Yeah. I'm talking about Jaws too.
Yep.
So the water ski and the boater, and then let's see here. And then the helicopter pilot.
Okay, we're at 11.
The one lady who helped young Sean onto the boat who gets swallowed whole in Jaws 2. It's so upsetting.
12.
She was so nice to him. Sean in Jaws 2, just for those at home. Little 8-year-old boy horrified to death. He's been attacked by sharks his whole fucking life. It's devastating. And there's this one teenage girl. He falls into the water, into the ocean. She, in a sacrifice for the ages, goes off into the ocean with him, says, "Help, little Sean here, let's get you up here," gets him up. And as she helps him up and he's crawling up, he looks back and this shark. It's like coming up so hard like a submarine where like the water draws back and it swallows her whole right in front of Sean. Yeah. Terrifying. So anyway, that girl.
That was 12.
And then, you know, that might be it for Jaws 2.
Okay, so we're at 12.
And then I got Jaws 3. We go with the water or the very beginning. The guy gets eaten.
Okay, 13.
And then you got hold on.
Get there. We're at 13.
I'm going to name this guy's name.
I know the final tally.
Okay. This guy's name, you can edit this downtime if you want. This guy's name is Shelby Bateman or something. Hold on. That's going to kill me. I don't want to look it up, but I'm going to have to. He goes up. Shelby Overman.
Okay, there you go.
So Shelby Overman, the
he's
diver.
14.
Yeah, the death of Shelby Overman.
Do they find him at the gate, like the closed gate?
He's the guy that was supposed to close the gate.
He was under there and turns around.
Yep. And then you got. And keep in mind, for those at home, I don't have a computer in front of me.
No, he does not.
Like this is from
good.
Memory.
He's we're at 14.
Yeah. Shelby Overman, and then we've got I'm trying to think there. I don't remember if there's a shitload of character death in three, like a couple water, like the water skier pyramid goes down, but I don't know if they ever actually show the shark eating the water skiers. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he eats Lou Gossett's nephew, so that's two.
So we're at 16. 16.
Yeah. And then am I close?
Oh, do you,
is
so
that there? Am I supposed to do all four or just the
all
three?
Four movies total?
Oh shit. Yeah. Okay. So at the beginning of part four,
I'm gonna. This has been insanely impressive. Okay. What you just did. There's only two more total, so they must have happened in four.
Okay, so I know him. So at the very beginning of part four, it's young Sean.
Yeah.
After this fucking kid sees this lady, let's take a second. Let's digest this. All right. Sean Brody.
Yeah.
First of all, the Brody family in general went through hell, but Sean Brody was the little kid at the beach on part one when the guy, you guys okay over there?
Right.
He was on the beach building the sandcastles and watched that guy get eaten.
Right.
So then he watches his girl in part two get eaten whole, and then he gets eaten in part four.
Right.
So there's that. And then the second death in part four is the banana boat driver.
Yeah.
She gets taken down.
So there's
No. No, dude, that's not accurate. I got to tell you. That's not accurate. The banana boat girl gets killed, and then Mario Van Peebles in the director's cut gets eaten,
but not in the theatrical cut. He doesn't die in the theatrical version.
He doesn't.
So they don't count the theatrical cut because the research, my research says 18, which you nailed. I wish we had. I wish we had like bells and fucking whistles.
Right.
That, yeah, like, I wish I confetti could fall. I can't believe he got that.
That was impressive.
That was impressive. Yeah. And I'll continue to do that through these movie episodes.
Yeah, because I know that.
That was amazing. Yeah. You named all 18 deaths.
I tell my nephews
with a bonus director's cut death. It's a 19 total.
I tell all my nephews I'm Google before amazing. Google with movies, and they're always like, oh,
dude, that was impressive.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. Even though it's kind of Loserville. It just means that I was a loser as a child.
No,
but
it's awesome. Jaws was also the first movie that was shot in the actual ocean too. Not all of it,
right?
But a lot of it. Well, which caused massive issues.
I was going to say, let's talk about that too. As I'm sure many people know, we won't go into all of the details, but it was the original nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And in film class, they teach you. You know, A number one, Jaws. Look at the making of Jaws as what not to do. James Cameron filmed The Abyss in a soundstage to make the ocean. You know what the other movie that filmed on the ocean, uncontrollable conditions, was? You know it.
Waterworld.
Waterworld.
Yeah, their whole sets were destroyed. Because everybody thinks that movie failed because it was, like, so over budget and... Like a large, it was so expensive to make. It was only because everything kept getting destroyed.
Right, right.
And they had to keep rebuilding it. But I will go 100% on the record saying that Waterworld is one of my favorite movies ever.
I
love that movie. And I love the boat in that movie. I love the beginning of Waterworld most, like the Kevin Costner shit movie. I love Dennis Hopper's character. I love all of it.
It's Mad Max on the ocean.
And we got
all
to
know.
See that boat at Universal Studios Incredible. When it was just docked there. And I wish I could have got on and played around with it
Incredible.
And sailed it.
Right. So, I do want to do the sidestep on Waterworld.
Right.
Briefly, because you got me thinking about it. Listen,
a whole episode on Waterworld.
Listen,
too.
Do you know? I mean, have you seen all the cuts?
No.
Like, whoa, Davis, I have a box set of Waterworld.
What, is it a director's cut or are they separate scenes?
So, there is five versions of Waterworld. Mm-hmm. I have all five versions. And the European version of Waterworld is 6 hours long.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
Is
it awesome?
It's incredible. It's like everything.
There's a lot more underwater stuff, right?
Yeah.
Here's
what I'll say. When I say it's incredible because I love movies.
It's incredible to you. It will be incredible
it'll
to
be
me.
Incredible to you. That's what I mean. Like, you'll fucking love it.
Yeah.
Like, it is everything you ever wanted. It goes deep into the girl, the young girls, like, way deeper than the movie does. Which, and so this box set has...
I hate that girl.
Well, then you might not love it. Right?
Well, because I don't mind her in the movie. I just hate her. I hate her face.
Interesting. Hot take by what?
The actress. The girl.
Okay.
Well, not hate. That's a strong word.
Hate's a strong word.
I do not like her.
At the time, you had an issue with, you know,
she was
something
weird.
About her.
She reminded me of a little cave girl.
All right. We'll edit that. But dig this. The box set itself has five different versions of the film. A director's cut, a European cut,
How long
theatrical
is the director's cut?
3 hours
something. Costner directed that too, or did he not?
No, he did not.
He just starred in it.
He just started it, and the guy who directed that is the guy who also directed Robin Hood with him, and his name
is
Russell.
Which I also like. I don't care that he doesn't speak with a British accent, because we get Cary Elwes to do that.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I loved Kevin Costner's Robin Hood. Yeah. But the Waterworld thing, I'm going to lend you the box set.
No, well, and okay.
All this is to say.
Is it DVD?
It's Blu-ray.
Okay. Oh, I got a PS5. I'll watch it upstairs. Yeah, I'll watch it with Lincoln. Lincoln will like it, too. Lincoln will like it. Lincoln has seen Jaws, by the way, when he was like 5. So he probably doesn't remember it.
Dude.
But he might.
You have to each year reintroduce it, because you're going to hit that one year where it affects them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean.
Yeah, we'll watch it.
Some people will go like, but I'm talking about it in a good way.
We'll watch it next week.
All right.
We'll watch it today.
It's so fucking
oh my god, that's, I don't know why that cracked me up so much.
So moving forward, we talked about our greatest scenes. Let me talk about one of my favorite little side characters, one little character actor, the Brody's deputy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Do you have his name in front of you?
I can pull it up.
It's Hendrix, I think.
Keep talking.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
it's
Hendrix, but that guy is an actor named Jeffrey Kramer.
Yeah.
And he just, anything he's in, I love. I don't know why, but he was in Clue, and he was the driver who showed up in the house in Clue. He's just a great little bit actor.
Little just appearance actor.
Yeah. Am I right, Jeffrey Kramer?
It's loading.
His performance in Jaws 1, you know, it's on and off, but...
Hendrix. Jeffrey Kramer.
Yeah.
That's his name.
That's what I said, right?
You definitely said Hendrix. I wasn't paying attention to the actor's name, but
well,
I think you said it. Did
tape.
You say it? We'll check the tape. You guys know.
Wheel, can we get a ruling on that? I'm pretty sure I said Kramer.
No, that's great. He is alive and well, old age of 78.
Nice.
He was on MASH.
Now
also.
let's move through the cast a little bit and talk about.
You know what else he was in?
Hendrix?
Yeah.
Clue, MASH.
The Hero and the Terror.
Wow. Heavy pull. Chuck Norris.
He was in Halloween 2 also.
Yes. I remember him in that.
He's got a nice little resume.
Hero and the Terror.
Hero and the Terror.
Chuck Norris.
Yep.
Shout out Dougie Fresh. Chuck Norris. Yeah, but so going down the list of the actors, we got, you know, we already talked about Martin Brody, you know, Roy Scheider, God bless him.
Blue Thunder.
Those who are listening at home,
well,
if you,
he was in Blue Thunder, yeah.
Yeah,
not
the movie.
Airwolf, yeah, that was Jan Michael Vincent. And Ernest Borgnine.
I know. Can you believe that? Borgnine.
Yeah.
But yeah, Blue Thunder, I think Scheider was in the movie.
Yeah, Blue Thunder. Not the TV show.
Right.
Yep.
But Scheider was in a great movie. If you like Scheider's performance and you're watching or listening to this in Jaws, seek out a movie called 52 Pickup with him. It's a phenomenal movie. It was directed by John Frankenheimer. I'm pretty positive about that one. Let me just double check that just to make sure. But it's a phenomenal movie of his. It's an underrated classic. Very intense film, the 52 Pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that is, you know, a lot of film buffs will give me shit for recommending this, but
John Frankenheimer, that's great.
John Frankenheimer?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Good. The other movie of his that I love,
Ronan.
And it gets a lot of hate. Well, I'm not talking about Frank. I'm talking about Scheider.
The other Scheider
movie that I love is 2010, The Year We Make Contact.
Oh, God, I forgot about that movie.
Now, you know, it ain't 2001. It's problematic.
I forgot about that movie.
It asks more questions than it answers. But I was in elementary school when it came out, and I saw that because I was a film buff. Like, I just went to the movies all the time. So I saw that. I had not seen 2001. I saw that. And I just, like, equated to just, I was young and I'm, like, looking at a movie. I didn't get it at all. You know, but his performance in that is great. And so Roy Scheider, two good Scheider performances if you're looking for that. Do you got any Roy Scheiders, like...
I'm trying to think. He was in, what the hell was the Star Trek? Or he was in Star Trek Deep. He was in a Star Trek.
He was in...
What was that space?
Sea Quest. It was a show.
It was like Star Trek underwater.
Yeah. Yes. It was a show for
a couple
of seasons.
That's what I've been trying to find. I couldn't remember. I watched that. Yeah. I remember. I forgot what it was, though. That was like the 90s.
I want to say, yeah, it was the either late 80s or early 90s, Sequest. And now I think that only ran one season. But I remember I loved that show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I remember, like, the first picture that pops up is I remember he's just like, look.
Let me ask you this. Is that guy, is the young kid, Jonathan?
Three seasons. Final episode was 1996.
And is the kid Jonathan?
Jonathan Brandis. Didn't he kill himself?
Yes,
he was the
that's
kid from Sidekicks.
That was
Chuck
going
Norris.
To be my point, is the All kid right. in that show went on to kill himself, unfortunately, right. as another tragic tale of wasted Hollywood youth.
Right.
Unfortunately, it happens, man, you know?
Yeah, unfortunate. So we got Roy Scheider. We've talked about...
And then
we got...
We're working our way. I'm going to get to Dreyfuss, but I'm going to go Robert Shaw first.
Okay. Sting. That's Amanda's favorite movie of all time. Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. That's the movie we should get her in here to do.
I love The Sting.
Yeah, she loves that movie.
Well, let me tell you. We ought to do The Sting and Digstown, like a hybrid, because they're both hustle movies or something like that, you know. Or we could just do The Sting or do them both separate. But I was thinking of Digstown the other day. The reason why I said a hybrid is because I don't know if Digstown is strong enough to do on its own. I don't know if everybody's seen it as much.
That makes it even better.
Maybe.
Digstown's great.
I love Digstown. But Robert Shaw. So yours, you're saying, is probably The Sting.
Yeah,
You know,
Robert Shaw.
I would say my favorite Shaw is A Man for All Seasons.
Okay.
Or his turn as the, he was a great bad guy in From Russia with Love.
Yeah.
He was the hitman.
Yep.
Like, he wasn't the heavy,
yes.
but he was like the right-hand man of the heavy, and he was great in that. Love Robert Shaw.
Who were we just talking? Oh, what? Glenn Workman. That's one of his favorite movies because it was like the James Bond movie where he's an actual like it's spy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a spy movie,
right?
It's like the James Bond movie that's a spy movie.
It's a good
shout
right.
out Glenn Workman. Again.
Shout out Glenn Workman. And for those of you who are listening
he's
and watching
coming
this,
up.
We have a Glenn Workman episode.
Glenn Workman will be coming up at the end of July, beginning of August. Yep, that episode will air.
Very fascinating episode.
Very fascinating.
Very fascinating. So Shaw is one of the greats. Now, when we get to Matt Hooper. Mm-hmm. Richard Dreyfuss's character.
Yep.
In my opinion,
Holy
when I saw
shit.
That, I love Dreyfuss. I can't talk now. That's a different movie, but we'll do. We're gonna do a stakeout with Kenny.
Yes.
And Paul.
And Paul.
Yeah. So.
And what about Bob?
Oh my gosh,
that's a good one too.
So Dreyfuss, that performance as Matt Hooper. Mm-hmm. In all honesty. Was the first performance I ever was like, I think I wanted to be an actor after. Mm. I thought like that, he was incredible in that role.
Yeah.
It was so effortless. His lines were just great. And, and like, I mean, it's well written, but it's all about the delivery.
Yeah.
And he was so real.
Yeah. From what I've read a lot that Shaw and they didn't get along at
all. They did not get
along. Set, and it was because of their acting styles and the fact that the set fucking broke down so many times that they were sitting around with a lot of downtime and Shaw would just go at it. But I think that ultimately helped him deliver the performances that they did because their tension on screen was real.
It was real, right. I mean, Dreyfuss credits that. He says now, you know, that years later, like they reconciled and everything was fine, but it was very intense.
Yeah.
And Shaw.
He was a lot younger at the time, too. I mean,
Right. And Dreyfuss is a shorter guy. Mm-hmm. And it's like Shaw is a very tall dude. Right. And it had to be intimidating for him. But Dreyfuss is a formidable opponent.
Yeah.
Like, he's an educated man. He's got balls. And it was a very intense time on that set, as all reports
And Dreyfuss
went.
Said he did not do Jaws 2 only because Spielberg didn't direct it.
Right.
That
right.
was the only reason.
And I got to tell you, Matt Hooper, I think, dies in the book. Is that?
No, I don't think he does.
No?
I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Matt Hooper dies in that shark cage, and he doesn't get out.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, now, we are speaking a little out of turn because I'm not quite sure about that one, but I'm sure the internet world will tell me. So, Dreyfuss's performance in that really got me into the thought of doing that for a living.
Holy shit.
To explain to those at home, in 1987, there was a movie that was released called Stakeout, and it was directed by John Bottom, who we'll go into a different time, but it was Emilio Estevez and Richard Dreyfuss. And it's one of the great Richard Dreyfuss performances of all times. No one remembers it. It's like, it doesn't get any love, and it's a dynamite movie, but Richard Dreyfuss has an incredible scene in that movie. And he says, holy shit, which is why Woe Davis,
he realizes that there's a stakeout going on that he's a part of, but not at this moment. And he's laying in bed and he answers the phone knowing it's tapped.
Correct. In the 80s.
And he's talking on the phone to the woman that they're staking out.
Madeline Stowe plays the woman.
I used to love her.
I love Madeline Stowe. And Dreyfuss. And so in the 80s, for those at home and those who remember, if you were a cop and you staked someone out, there was no regulatory board that made sure that you were, you know, doing the job right. You were watching from across the street, tapping the phone lines, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so the movie depicts that to the umpteenth degree, and Richard Dreyfuss ends up stooping the subject that they're staking out, and then realizes when she calls him at his house that he's being listened to by his boss, right, and delivers the relevant holy shit.
Just about Red Grant. That was Shaw's name in From Russia with Love.
Is that right?
Red Grant.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
Wanted to go
incredible
back to
role. Incredible role. But Dreyfuss, what's another Dreyfuss role that you can.
Close Encounters.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one. I was going to say, well, because I always think of Matt Hooper.
Yeah.
When I think of Dreyfuss, I think of Matt Hooper. I think of the Goodbye Girl in a way because
Mr. Holland's Opus.
I think of Mr. Holland's Opus.
What about Bob? I did mention that, but that's a fantastic movie. Him and Bill Murray are great.
Well, you know, they did not like each other.
At all, no.
Dreyfuss did not like Bill Murray,
right,
and Bill Murray did not like Dreyfuss.
Right.
And to this day, like, Dreyfuss is like, you know, it was a very intense set. Now, I think Murray did it on purpose because that was part of the character.
He
of
was
Bob.
Me to you.
He was the you, right? Exactly. Exactly. It's incredible. Great performance. Okay, so moving right along.
Right.
So
Murray Hamilton.
Murray
we'll
Hamilton.
Next.
So the only other one that I remember that made an impact on me was The Graduate.
So I was going to say, I have like some with Murray Hamilton. He was in four movies that were nominated for Best Picture. Can you name them?
The Graduate.
One.
I should be shot for this because there was a moment.
Jaws.
In my life
I'll give
where
you
I
that one.
This.
I'll give you Jaws.
Yeah, but
there's
pre-graduate that he was known for. That's why Spielberg wanted him.
Yep.
Because of these performances, and I am blanking on them. So give me them.
The Hustler.
God damn it!
Anatomy of a Murder.
I wouldn't have gotten the Anatomy of Murder.
So those four the movies were nominated for Best Picture, and he was in all four.
Yeah, incredible actor.
Yeah. And he died in 1986.
Wow. Well, been a while. Yeah. How old was he? Because he seemed old in Jaws. I mean, or he seemed older. But he was probably only like 40 in Jaws. He just seemed ancient to us at the time.
Back again to Dreyfus, Stand By Me, the narrator.
Oh, man, the narrator.
That was a hard one to forget. Well, not we didn't forget.
Well, right, yeah. I mean,
who am I? Murray Hamilton. What was I looking up? Yeah. How old he was?
Yep, when he died.
63. He was young.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a damn shame. So, real quick, I'm gonna stay on Hamilton as the mayor. Mm-hmm. As a child,
I mean, you'd say he was a piece of shit, but he wasn't.
Listen,
he was the mayor. He had to get business. It was 4th of July.
Are you telling me that you are team Mayor Vaughn?
Hell no, Mayor Vaughn was such an asshole.
What are you
dude.
Trying to say?
Such
right.
an asshole.
So what I'm saying is as a child,
I understand his motive.
Yeah, he's a
he couldn't cripple the town. They needed the money.
Look, politically, it would have been political suicide. There's no doubt about it. Okay,
and he was an asshole, so he wasn't going to commit political suicide.
Well, yeah, but he's committing political suicide by opening him up to a smorgasbord. But
he didn't believe there was a shark.
I mean, but can you, like, when I was a kid and I realized what was going on here, I remember being like, I wonder why, like, what's he talking? I don't understand. Like, you know, the concept, I couldn't quite get the mayor's story, the first run through, because I was young and I was just watching. And but the second time I watched it, I'm going, well, what is it, money? Or, you know, it is, you realize it as a young kid nowadays, of course, but it's like, he was the first, like, real evil, you know,
real politician too. Like that shit would happen now.
It does, sure.
Like they'd be like, we can't close the beach.
Sure,
just tell people to not go out too far into the water.
Right. Like, I mean, now look, until COVID,
or just tell them nothing and let's see what happens. Which is what Mayor Vaughn did.
Until COVID, everything would have gone that way. Now we don't give a shit about COVID. We're not talking about COVID. But you know, like everything went that way until that, and that was the only anomaly. That right. was the weird one, and they'll never do that again. So fuck them.
And in the grand scheme of things, Brody's also responsible because he could have just stuck to his guns and closed the beach. But he was. Like,
are you kidding me? They were all over him.
Yeah, but
you
he
were at that
he
town hall.
He could have stood his ground and
he
closed
had
the
no
beach.
Political power. Chief Brody had no political power. You're going on record as Team Vaughn, and you think Brody was a son of a bitch.
I understand
his job.
What they
this
were
guy,
thinking.
Man, it's amazing. I mean,
no, I'm definitely not Team Vaughn, but maybe.
I mean, this
he
guy.
He's such a piece of shit.
Remember, he said, Brody, my kids were on that beach too. You know, it's like this guy, his own kids, he's serving up. It's ridiculous.
Another thing I read about the Robert Shaw Dreyfus thing, where Robert Shaw bet Richard Dreyfus $100. He dared him and said he'd pay him $100 to climb to the top of the mast on the Orca and jump off.
Wow!
Don't think he did it though.
No, yeah. Well, so
because I mean Shaw knew he would get hurt.
Right. Well, so it was a notoriously bad production. It took forever. The actors were in hell. The reason for the yellow barrels, you know, as everybody now knows, I believe, but for those who don't know, is that the actual shark was breaking constantly. All the shots, the shark was in was supposed to be in 70% of the film.
Right.
It ended up only being in a quarter or a third, something rather low. Probably a quarter of the film, because that was all they could use. So they came up with the concept of the yellow barrel to insinuate when the shark would be around. And in retrospect, it's brilliant.
That's another good scene, which is nothing. There's nothing to it. But when I don't know what it's called on the boat, the front of the boat, when Quint's just sitting there with the harpoon gun, is it a rifle? It's a rifle.
It's
not
a
rifle. Harpoon gun, just sitting there across, and he's just sitting there with his legs crossed, staring at Hooper.
Right, right.
Because he's driving the boat, and he's just sitting there staring at him and then there's a good panoramic shot of that you can buy.
It's an incredible
picture.
Shot.
I love that shot.
And that shot has a shooting star in it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
like a real life shoe.
Oh, well, here's the thing. It's been there my whole life. I assume
or
it was
is that
a real
the hanging midget or
in
little person
Wizard of Oz.
In Wizard of Oz.
Is that the hanging little person in Wizard
shooting,
of Oz?
Is the shooting star your hanging little person? Like, is it actually there?
Listen, prick, I didn't make that up. The world told us that. What are we talking about? Look, that's one of those vindication things. Like, I mean, what do you want me to do? Like,
there is a shooting star.
Yes,
it was accidental.
Yeah, listen,
it wasn't planned.
I don't know what you're insane because every one you bring up, I've been proven right. Like the Godfather epic was a real thing. Outsiders really had a court scene. Superman 2.
We didn't believe you back then, though.
Superman 2 had a different cut.
We thought you were crazy.
Yeah, and they're all out now. The Donner cut, like all of it. All right, stay on top.
Yeah. What's the topic?
You're giving me trivia.
What are we at right now? Still? Not necessarily trivia, but at the time, Jaws was the biggest blockbuster hit of all time.
Right.
It's the first movie that made over $100 million. First movie that was played in over 400 theaters across the country. And it was the highest grossing film until
Raiders?
Star Wars knocked it off 2 years later.
Interesting. Luca Plakia, Lucas, George Lucas, masterstroke, Star Wars 1, Part 4.
And then since then, there's been multiple knockoffs. But yeah, Jaws at the time was like, unheard of what happened. And
it was the dawn of the summer blockbuster.
Yes.
Like after Jaws, that set the template for the summer.
And everybody feels bad about what apparently sharks got killed left and right after that movie came out.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Okay,
sharks
so,
got a real bad name after that.
Yeah, and you know, we love nature here at Sanity Lounge. We're not supporting, you know, murdering innocent creatures. But sharks are horrifying.
Yeah.
And as a child, my knee-jerk reaction was, fuck them. But
yeah, me and Lincoln, I went on a Boy Scout troop camping trip a couple months ago with the troop, and Lincoln found, we went to Calvert Cliffs, where you can find shark teeth and fossils and stuff like that, and Lincoln found an actual megalodon tooth.
I know, you put it on
like,
the text
it's pretty
thread.
Good, I'll pop it up here.
You put it on the text thread
I'll
that night.
I'll pop it up here.
That's so funny.
No, that thing was cool. Like, it was big, and that's where I discovered Google Lens. Did you know about Google
Did
Lens?
Did that work?
Yeah, yeah.
It works?
Yeah, it just said it was from an extinct shark, and it gave, like, several examples. But we were taking pictures. I was taking pictures of shells and stuff like that. Just
right.
Yeah, you're like, cool, shell. But some of these shells were extinct, like mollusks and stuff like that. Like, it's wild.
That's amazing. And Google Lens will pick that shit up.
Yeah, yeah. You can do it with plants, anything. It'll tell you which, it tells you what stuff is. So, yeah, highest grossing film shot in Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
Amity is a fictitious town.
Alex Kittner's mom just passed away in
2020. There's a cool story about them.
Right.
So that it was, I don't know when this happened, probably in the 2000s sometimes, but the mom went to a restaurant, and I don't think it was in the Northeast, but she walked into a restaurant and they had a sandwich called the Alex Kittner Burger.
Nice.
And she was like, holy shit, that's awesome. I want that burger. I played his mother, and the whole staff was like, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Turns out the dude that owned the restaurant was the actor that played Alex Kittner.
Wow.
And he came out, and they reconciled for the first time
holy
in decades.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Serendipity.
Yeah, 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 she randomly went into a restaurant. They had an Alex Kittner burger, and Alex Kittner owned the restaurant.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's a
I
cool
love
story.
That.
That's an awesome story.
Well, and that lady, I can't remember the actress's name. We'll have to give
she
her credit.
She has done some cool stuff. Let
well,
me,
I know
look her
she
up.
Stayed in that area for a minute and did Jaws tours and stuff.
Yes.
Like, did a lot of stuff around the area. Like, always, you know, I love that kind of stuff. Nostalgia.
Miss Kittner, Lee Fierro. Lee
Fierro, that's right.
She died 2020.
Yep.
Jeffrey Voorhees, that was the name of Alex Kittner.
Alex Kittner, the young Jeffrey Voorhees. Now, is that serendipity?
Theater. She was a theater promoter up in the Northeast.
Yeah, like, I know she did a lot of work for acting.
Behind the scenes stuff, yeah.
Right, and she did a lot of that.
Oh,
like,
she died of the coronavirus.
Damn.
At 90, she was 91 years old.
Well, she had a hell of a run.
Goddamn Corona.
I know. And ain't that a bitch? I just mentioned it.
She, yeah, the shark didn't get her. Got her son, but coronavirus got her.
I love that story, though, with the Kittner burger.
Yeah, no, that's a great story. That's a great story.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, she, I mean, that's yeah, just good she stuff. Was, yeah, she did a lot for theater companies and actor up-and-coming actors and actresses in the Northeast.
Now, I've never been to Martha's Vineyard, but I hear tell that there is a Jaws tour.
Like, and it has nothing to do with Martha Stewart, right? Right?
Martha's Vineyard?
Yeah.
No, sir. It's been around a long time before Martha Stewart. Yeah. Okay, well, dig
Why
this.
Is it called Martha's Vineyard?
Because it's a, I Who think it is, was...
Who's Martha?
I got to believe it has something to do with early America, and it has to do with a wine vineyard, I always assumed.
Wait a minute. Who, whose wife was Martha?
You're asking way too... It's
like
out of my
George Washington? Baby. George Washington. Is that who it's... Is it,
is
named
it Martha,
after
Washington?
Martha Washington?
Is that who it's supposed to be, Chris?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't fucking know. Okay. Chris is up there.
Yeah. That's what we do here at Sanity Lounge. We
well,
make
that's
up
what I'm
things.
Saying. I know,
like
Mar-
my wife says, I'll speak it with such conviction. Like, remember, Jerry, it's not a lie if you believe
if
it's
you
true.
If you believe it's true, right? No, but this, I'm like, I'm pretty positive. It's an old, a very old. It's yeah. like you know, colonial times.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah,
been
yeah.
around since then.
I agree.
And it's nothing. It's just a nice area.
And I mean, it's the North Atlantic. I think it's known for great whites too.
I always assumed that there was a wine.
There's a like, vineyard there. There's
know,
Martha's
like, but,
Vineyards.
Right. It's like, but I oh. don't know if that's...
I don't know either. I've never
yeah,
been there.
Yeah.
Back to that. I've never been there.
That being said, I know that they do, or I'm pretty sure that they did and still do Jaws tours. I would love to
that
go
would
up
be
there
cool.
at some
yeah.
point to do that.
And aren't they doing a new Jaws ride at Universal down in Florida?
I'm not sure.
Or it got put on the back burner. I know
I've
they're opening
that.
The Nintendo World and stuff like that.
I've heard that
and
over the
doing,
years. Dark Universe.
This dude, Tom Kubler, who's a sculptor, like an amazing sculptor. He does like hyper-realistic sculpts. I went to a seminar of his at Smooth On. He is doing some stuff for the Dark Worlds thing
yeah,
they're doing at Universal
right.
Studios. So like some of the fact that he's involved in some of the creations that are going to be there mean they are going to look insanely realistic and creepy.
Nice. Well,
yeah. He made
hope.
The giant. Remember that like picture I sent of me posing
yes.
with that big giant?
Yes.
He made that
wow.
thing.
Yeah, that thing was
yeah.
awesome.
Like, I love that dude. Like, he makes cool stuff. His seminar was one of the coolest things I've been to. And, like, I use some of his
well, dude, if he,
techniques now.
If they revive the Jaws ride, for those at home,
let's see why not.
It, Universal
I
Studios.
Love that ride was great.
Universal Studios for Orlando, when it first opened up in 1991, mm-hmm. it had a Jaws ride,
yep.
and it was no joke.
It was awesome, and it was like the Jungle Cruise at Disney. Like, the people that steered the boat made the ride great.
Right.
Like,
so,
you had to have a great host while you were cruising around the lagoon.
So when you were waiting in line for the ride, it was like Amity. It was like you were waiting in yeah. Amity. There was all this stuff. If you were familiar with the movie, you were like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. Then you get on a boat, as Woe Davis says. It's yeah. like a 12, 16 person boat, something like that.
Yeah.
With a driver, and the driver's got a clear comm and he's talking. And mayhem ensues, and it was just great. I mean, they had a physical shark that would come up out of the water, not just once,
yeah.
and not just like,
awesome.
You know, not just like going past the boat. Like, at one point...
Oh, it blew up gas lines, everything. I mean, there were fires. There
at
were
one
everything.
Point, they steer the boat into a cabin mm-hmm. on the water,
yep.
and the shark starts hitting the
yeah.
cabin walls,
yeah.
you know, and then the lights come on, it comes
God,
up out.
They were there was... four great rides back then at Universal: Back to the Future, T2, Jaws, and Twister.
Ooh,
Twister! Remember that?
Because yeah,
you didn't
gonna...
ride it; you stood there,
right?
And the wind, dude, that was a cool ride.
Well,
that
the thing
cool.
is we knew where to stand.
That was before Islands of Adventure.
Right. And we had the inside track, like, on that, because we had year passes, yeah. So we knew where to go yep. in to get the one spot that would really.
You thought I was
like,
going to say Kong. I forgot about Kong.
I did
just
think
now.
You were
Kong
say
was
Kong.
A good ride.
The
too,
original
dude.
The, Kong.
Oh, dude, when the subway gets flooded. God, they were such cool rides,
dude.
Dude,
it was incredible.
Now even the rides are CGI, but
I
they're
know.
Still cool.
They are.
But
it's
like those were practical effects, except Back to the Future. That was like an IMAX.
Right, but King
like you
Kong,
were sitting in the DeLorean. Right. King Kong was practical effects.
Yeah, King Kong, you were in an old new, you were in
and
a warehouse.
And Twister was practical effects.
Right.
Except for the cow.
Right, right. They had a big
screen, yeah,
but
yeah.
it was
but,
mostly, it was real
yeah,
fire,
but
it was real
was
wind.
All practical effects. Yep. God, that was so fun.
And 3D.
So fun. Shout had out some 3D. To 90s Universal Studios.
Yeah, man, it was incredible. But, that ride kept breaking down. It was just like the film.
Yeah.
It's like the ride, because it involved being in the water, right. submerged in the water all the time, the shark constantly broke down. Yeah. And I remember, we lived there. I went to Universal all the time. It always broke down until the point where they just was like, fuck it, and they closed it.
Yeah.
So if they bring that back, that would be incredible. Yeah. All right, well, so we're going to kind of bring it down towards the end here
yeah,
soon,
we're
right?
just done.
So,
yeah.
In closing, it's 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. If you haven't watched Jaws, we kind of went all over the place because that's
no,
what we
do. Hopefully you, I mean, even if you know the movie, I hope you learn some cool stuff.
Yeah, everybody like, knows yeah. everything they want to know about Jaws. So this was just fun to
Brian
be able
impressed
to
us
talk
with his
about.
Knowledge of shark deaths, which that's still, I can't say that I didn't think you were going to get it, but the fact that you did is still impressive.
Well, the fact that we weren't planning this, like,
no.
this is off
no, no,
the
no.
cuff.
We
I
weren't
mean,
even supposed to be doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, like, I just am that nutty
see
with,
if I have
with
anything
movies
left here.
That I, you know.
Three sharks. Three total sharks. They were family.
Right. Three versions of yeah. Bruce, is that what you mean?
Bruce, what were their names? It was Bruce something and Vengeance was the third shark's name.
And they said that
Bruce Brienne, maybe? Maybe it was Brienne.
Yeah,
it was
something with a B.
Yeah.
And I think the shark in Jaws 3 was the biggest shark mm-hmm. that they used or whatever.
Because
or
it was
the
terrible.
Mother. Well,
the graphics. Oh, and then the last thing I had written down too, which I read about, which I thought was cool, was the movie poster, because that's iconic.
The movie poster is
even
incredible.
By itself. Roger Castell did the artwork, and he based that image off of a diorama he saw at the American Museum of Natural History of a shark head. And the woman was a woman he was already sketching in his studio, and he just had her stand up and pretend she was swimming, and he sketched her onto the movie poster.
Okay, so you reminded me of Chrissy Watkins. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Chrissy Watkins, the actress who played Chrissy Watkins. She just died.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Yeah, I remember that, too.
You know, a week ago or 2 weeks ago or something like that. That performance, she was only in... She, you know what other movie she was in? Don't look it up. Do you know what
other... No, I don't. Tell me.
The Great Muppet Caper.
Oh, my God. I would not have pulled that out of
Chrissy Watkins was one of the heist gals, I believe, in The Great Muppet Caper. And but what a great performance. Right when Jaws 1 opens up, you know, I was in love with her, you know. I mean, for what it was worth, she was only in it for 2 minutes.
What was her name?
Suzanne.
Yeah, there we go.
Backlund.
May 11th, 2024. She just died May 11th.
Suzanne Backlund. She was gorgeous, and she was a kind soul. I mean, yep. You know, you see interviews with her over the years.
77 years old.
Interviews with her over the years. And when she filmed that scene, a bit of trivia that the Jaws heads know, but those who don't, it's interesting. The opening scene of Jaws, the young lady's on the beach. She runs out. And,
nude,
right? She gets naked. We love
a bad
that.
Way to go too.
It's one. Yeah, and then the more. Well, thank God the guy passes out on the beach. I mean, he'd have been a goner too.
Yeah.
But she goes out there when they filmed that scene. Spielberg had her in a harness, and she was supposed to be simulating drowning and struggling, and they were pulling her from both sides back and forth. Mm. And
that's good. That's
so
good
she thing, yeah. was like, you know, they were doing it.
That's why it looks like she's being like shaken by the shark.
Right. And she had to come up with a way that they would know if she was really struggling, because she's supposed to be struggling. She's supposed to be thrashing. And if she's got a problem, they're pushing her back and forth, you know, so they have to figure out a way to make that safe for her. And she just said it was very intense because...
Oh, did she come up with something?
I don't think that they ever came up with anything that made her feel totally safe. Right. They just did it, but
I gotta get through it.
But that was in her head. Like, yeah. When you hear her interviewing, like, she talks about that, how, like, it was pretty intense because mm-hmm. she was playing somebody drowning and they didn't really have a great way to make them know that she was okay, because right. the guys were so frantically pulling her back and forth and Spielberg's looking at the shot. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that
in early filmmaking, you know, because again, the '70s, it ain't like it is nowadays. Right. It's not like there was on the film set a regulatory board that was watching over everyone. If there was tragedy on the film set, as a matter of fact, until 82, when Vic Morrow got killed on the set of The Twilight Zone. Do you remember that? The Twilight Zone movie, Vic Morrow got tragically killed. He got killed by the helicopter blades.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Killed him and a young kid and like a couple production people and stuff like that. But after that, people, they were like, well, we got to regulate this shit. Or, you know, things got a little bit more tight and tighter on the set.
Yep.
But I always love those kinds of Hollywood, you know, like, side or like cool stories about filming,
just practical
stuff.
Yeah, I love it.
It's good shit. All right, so Sanity Cinema is going to be a segment that we do for those at home, and we're going to bring on the debut of the Sanity Cinema is going to be this. Ironically, we're going to bring on our sons for the first few episodes.
Yeah, we have some movies lined up.
We got some movies lined up. It's going to be more organized than this. This was, again, we kind of are doing this as a.
I think this was fun, though.
Yeah,
we have Skull. We have Skull with us. We have Calibos.
Right. Got a little bit Calibos.
We have Frankenstein. We have Kenny over here.
We got our buddy Kenny.
Kenny's in the chat. And we have Mr. Poe. We have Mr. Poe in the chat.
For those at home, Calibos, as Woe Davis pointed out, the toy, of course, not the actual Calibos, but the toy Calibos is from 1980s
Clash
of the Titans. Clash
of the Titans.
With your
Harry Hamlin
and, God love him, Burgess Meredith, one of the greats. A great flick we may end up doing on Sanity Cinema at some point.
Thank you so much. That's Phil Tippett stop motion.
Yes.
Scorpions.
The great Phil Tippett.
Yes.
Jason of the Argonauts and, you know, all the Sinbad, you know, early cinema. All right, well, this was fun. Have a great, safe 4th of July weekend. Yep. Shout out to Brian King, my buddy Brian King, who loves Jaws with me. Ben Davis, of course.
Everybody, and make sure you listen to Put This On at the Cookout.
Yeah, definitely.
Put it on through the speakers.
Over the weekend.
You'll love it.
All right, good deal. Stay sane, Baltimore.
Yep. Awesome.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.